I wanted to something, actually, as to the, with the sedges, with Chayasar and with Tolda, okay? So, Chayasar and Tolda. What I want to start off with is with Eliezer, and I want to deal with Eliezer, and then with the brachas. But let me start with Eliezer, okay? There is a, the question, of course, is, I mean, the famous question, that why does the Torah spend so much time telling you the whole Sipur HaMaisa about Eliezer and how he went about to find Rivka and to bring it back? I mean, the whole Sipur could have been told in one pasuk. Yeah, he was Mekayim Divrei Adonav, and he brought her back. I mean, well, why should we be so interested in his method of how he accomplished it? I mean, Chazal addressed the problem in a general, they give a general answer, same as Chazal. Rashi quotes it in Pasuk, Bereishis Chazal, Pasuk Membeis. Amar Rabbi Yacha, Yofes Sichoson Shel Avdei Ovos, Lusnei Amakom, Yitarosan Shel Banim. Okay, the Sich of Avdei Ovos is more dear to HaKadosh Baruch Hu than the Torah of the Banim, Sharei Parsha Shel Yezek Ful of the Torah. Because this parsha is doubled, it's repeated. V'har be'gufei Torah lo nitno ala b'rmiva. Okay, so you understand, I mean, this chazal is really not an answer. It's an introduction, basically. I mean, sometimes chazal give a complete answer. Sometimes they give you a guidance, an approach to the problem, but they don't really explain it in detail. And this basically, this chazal of Yafasi Chosan Shalav Deavos is just a guideline, basically. But it really doesn't answer the question. And, because, obviously, I mean, for obvious reasons. But let's take a look at the Sipur itself, and you'll see that there's another problem, an open problem in the Sipur, and that is with the, we'll come back in more detail, but just start with one basic question. And that is what the test was. Now, I know a lot of shatim were given, but Vaya Nara, Pasuk says the Chavdal Yudal, Vaya Nara Sha'omar Elo Atina Chadech Veshta, Vomrash Sei Vegam Gamalecha Ashkena, so also Chachta Lavdech Ali Yitzchak, Voida Kiyasisa Chesar Madonna. Okay, so the test was that he would ask her for water, and she would say, Shesei v'gam gamalech ashke. Okay, I mean, so what does that prove, basically? How does that prove anything? So, of course, it does show something. I mean, it does show some idea, because it does show the fact that most people, when they do chesed, it's a reaction. In other words, if somebody asks you for something, so you respond because of the personality in front of you. The individual is asking you for something, so you want to please that person. So it's a natural thing that a normal human being wants to please another human being, and therefore they respond. But Gam Gamalech Ashke was not part of the request. So therefore you see that it shows that she initiated chesed on her own. It wasn't in response to the personality of Eliezer. It does show that. But the question still remains. I mean, the question is very nice, but it doesn't really prove anything. There are many reasons why people do chesed, and there are many Rishayim that did chesed. So it doesn't really prove anything. And there are many animal lovers that are sometimes the worst for Shia. So the question still remains, what kind of a nisayon was Eliezer introducing here? Okay. Well, let's leave that question and let's go now to Parshas Toldos. Okay. Parshas Toldos. and with the brachas. So, I mean, just before we start, I just want to raise the question that the obvious question is: what would have happened? I mean, had Esav received in fact the brachas? So, what would have happened? So the answer is simple. The answer is nothing. Nothing would happen. Because brachos need a makabel, and Esav was not the proper makabel. So therefore, it would have been nothing. Okay. So the significance of Yaakov receiving the brachos was not that Esav should not receive them, because that would simply be neutral. But the significance was obviously that Yaakov should be the recipient. He should be the makabel. What is the importance of him being the makabel? What is the importance of him being the makabel? So, I mean, if his offspring deserve the brachas, if he and his offspring deserve the brachas, so I mean, the hashgacha will direct them anyways to him. So I mean, what is the purpose of actually being the makabel the bracha? So of course, I mean, one purpose is, we mentioned before, is that a bracha, and that's why Chazal gave brachas. A bracha really is something that guides an individual. It has to be a proper bracha. That a person gives another individual a bracha, that if the person that receives the bracha, if it's something good, and the person listens to it and thinks into it, so then of course it's something which guides their life and can change their life. The makabel, that's why the main thing by the bracha is the makabel. That's why by brachas kanam also, it's always you have to makabel the bracha from the kanam, to think into the bracha, think into the ideas of the bracha. So obviously the brachos that were given by Yitzchak, and I mean it was given through the Ashgacha, and it was a Dvar Hashem, so it was very deep, and every word had many ideas and an important concept. And therefore, I mean, therefore, Yaakov had to be mekabel those brachas. It was a limud. It was a limud for Yaakov. If Esav would have been nothing, for Yaakov was a tremendous limud. But there's also something else in the fact that Yaakov was mekabel the brachas. And that is that apparently that a good that the Hashgacha conveys to an individual, it's important for him to understand how this good was given. Was it given as a matter of hashgacha, or was it just simply a matter of chance? Because I mean, not everything's hashgacha, and many things in the world have natural causes, like Ramban says, the Rambam, everybody agrees. So apparently if a person is a beneficiary of a situation which is simply a result of the natural law, natural causation, this is not the same thing as if the person really knows that this is a direct hashgacha Hashem. It's different, it's not the same. Because when he realizes that it's Hashgachas Hashem, if it's a good, like the case of these brachas, it's a material good, it means that he was entrusted with it. He has a different attitude towards the matana. The matana has a different significance. It has to have a different significance because it means this matana is functioning due to Hashgachas Hashem, which is tied to Tikkun Olam and to the objective of man's existence. So it's in a different, completely different framework. And because it's in a different framework, the makabel of the matana has to view it differently and has to act with it in a different manner than he would if it was simply, if he didn't know this, and he simply acquired it as a matter of natural law. You see that idea in Dvarim. And really, that's the concept of the Parshas Hazino. Because Parshas Hazino was Vata Kisvu Lachem, and Dvarim Amar Alfi says, Vata Kisvu Lachem, Sashir Azos, Lamdo Es B'nei Yisrael, Sima B'sihem. Laman Tiyali Ashir Azos, La'ed B'nei Yisrael. So apparently the Shira functioned as an aid. As an aid, which means that this Shira, which is the Shira of the Ashgacha, really functioned in a very special way. And you see, for instance, with regard to what we're discussing now, the Pesukim make it very clear that Yakiva, for instance, starting with Avinu Lamed Beis Yigimel. Yakiveo Boma Seoret, Vayochal Tnuva Sodoi, Vayenikeo Dvash Misela, Veshemen Mechal Mishtur, Chemas Boko Vachalei Stone, and Mchel of Koran, Veilim Bnei Voshen Vatudin, and Mchel of Kilio Sito, the Dam Eno of Tishte Choma. So, and all the Psukim before. Yimtei Aberet Midbor, Yisof Ben Rivon Aneyu, Kinesha Yorikino, goes above Yurachev, Hashem Borad Yan Chenu. All these psukim, what all these psukim show? These psukim show that the fact that Anchel El Yon Goyim, from the beginning, Shalavich Yagedcha is the Kinecha of Yamalach. Anchel El Yon Goyim, Yatzek Zulasam, and Mitzvah Bnei Yisrael, for the purposes of Christ. Yichelak Hashem Amal, Yaakov Chelam Achavasa. It means that all these gifts and all these events and all these conquests were direct Hashgach. That's what the Paschus is telling us. And then, of course, Vayishman Yeshurun Vayivot, Shamanta Visa Kasisa. That means that they took it as a matter of natural law. Va'ata Yisrael Uva'at, Tigamukla says, Atzlach became successful, Tekof became very strong, and Kenon Nichsen, and they acquired possessions. Which means that instead of realizing that this was something that was entrusted to them for a specific purpose of Tikkun Olam, so they took it as a matter of natural law, and not only natural law, but as a matter of their own doing. So that's Shemanta Vitsa Kasisa, three things. Atzlach, they became successful. The Kof, they became very strong. It gave them a very strong ego power. And Kona Nichsen, and then when they had these acquisitions, that finished the picture. And then Vayito Shalakaso. So you see that the Parshas Hazino was significant that it should be understood where it's possible. See, Yochid is not possible. Yochid doesn't know a lot of times whether what he was the beneficiary of was Ashkocha Pratius or Ashkocha Kolius. Doesn't know. But if he would know, if it's Ashkocha Pratius and he would know it's Ashkocha Pratius, it would be a different type of Matana. He would treat it differently if he had that knowledge. So apparently over here what's significant, not simply that Claudius Royal or Yaakovina should be the beneficiary, but that he should know what exactly the Matana is and what framework. That it is definitely Hashgacha. Definitely Hashgacha. Yeah. And that's really that's why Yavashah, which means that it was Moshe Rabbeinu conveyed in Azinu, in the Shir of the Hashgacha, this idea that it was clearly the Hashgacha, and then Vayishman, Yeshua, and Vayivot was a double chate. It was a chate in terms of a misdiagnosis of their own abilities, their own powers, and their own sense of self-worth, and also was a denial of the Ashgacha. It was a double chet. Vayito shalakaso. So it's important. I mean, that's one of the, that's another reason why there's two things in a bracha. Two things in the bracha. One thing in the bracha is the limud and the idea, And the other thing is where it's possible for a person to know the framework of the matana, that it's a matana which was nitan lo piash gocha pratius, so then he has to view it differently as a different kind of a responsibility, and his das, his machayev, to view it in a totally different way. Yeah. So the question, of course, is, why did Esau want the brachas? So why did Esau, like brachas kahanim, for instance. Like brachas kahanim, so there's limud. Rech Hashem Yishmachot is limud. But the individual who is the beneficiary can't know, without nevuah, whether it's hashgacha pratis, hashgacha klolis. But one aspect of bracha does remain. That aspect. But over here, by these brachas, there was a double aspect. But now the question is, so why did Esav want these brachas? He wasn't interested in the limud, and he wasn't interested in being entrusted with him, with the good. So why did Esav want it? Okay. Anybody have an answer there? Any suggestion?
Perhaps because so that Yaakov wouldn't get it?
That he wouldn't get it. He'd get it anyways. He'd get it anyways. It wouldn't mean that Yaakov shouldn't have the limud and shouldn't have the idea. That's already a very strange kind of Russian. Yeah. But what's the answer? No, the answer is very straight. I know that the question is often asked, but the answer is really very straight. The answer is that Esau thought he was a tzaddik. That's the answer. The answer is that a Russia does not. We tend to look at things in a very, very foolhardy and naive way. As if Esav is branded with the name Russia and he thinks like a Russian and he understands he's a Russia. No, that's a naive way to look at it. Every Russia thinks he's a tzaddik. That's a prerequisite. And you see what he complained. He said, "It's b'charasi lakach, inei ato lakach b'charasi." So you see, he considered himself a tzaddik. He was misabel on the fact that he lost the Bechorah. What does he need the Bechorah for? What does he need it for? The answer is because he really thought that he is the one that deserves to do this. You see, the Russia has a mistaken notion. The Russia doesn't say that the Kvod Shemayim that's bestowed on the Tzaddik belongs to the Tzaddik. And that's not a Russia. If a person thinks that way, the Russia just thinks, look, I can't help myself. I do these things, they're terrible deeds, terrible actions, but I can't control myself. That's not really a Russia at all. That's not really a Russia. That's a different kind of an individual. That's like a Tov over Sheretz B'yadav. Person does tshuva, but he can't stop himself. So he's sorry he did it. He realizes it's wrong. But he, in the future, can't look. He's not making any changes. So that's a Tov over Sheretz B'yadav. That's a different kind of a. That's not really truly a Russia. The Russia has a completely distorted view of reality, distorted to the point where he's convinced that basically he is the tzaddik, and that he should be the beneficiary of all the good that the tzaddik deserves. That's the genuine Russia. Yeah. So Esav really was the pasuk describing. If you look at the Torah, you see that the Torah doesn't describe anything in a simplistic manner. For instance, by Lavan Arami, when he saw Eliezer, what did he say? Bo Baruch Hashem. And what do you say when he at the end of Eliezer's after his whole speech? So what did Lavan say? Vayan Lavan Usulayim Mer Hashem Yotza Adavar Zol Bashet Min Hashemayim. So the Russia is not the individual that claims that he's left the world of the world of the good, and he's taken another world, the world of the physical. That's not a Russia. That's a different kind of a human being, an unfortunate human being, but not a real Russia. And you see from the Pesukim, as I said, he says, It's my bracha. I deserve this, and I'm ready to be the manigador, and give me these brachas, and with these brachas I'll be a tzaddik gamur. That's basically what his intention was. But that's the genuine Rashi. His total distorted view of himself. It's not just a distorted view of reality, it's a distorted view of himself. And that's the way the Torah depicts it. Okay. Yeah. But let's take a look into the Sipur HaMaaseh. In the Sipur HaMaaseh, where the brachas were given out, and deceitful manner. Yeah. Okay. So the pasuk says that that Yaakov Avinu was afraid of one thing. He agreed. He didn't want to do it. Went against his nature. Like the Gro points out, Ulai means something good. He should have said Pen Yimushen Yavi. But it went against his nature, and he was really a part of him, was hoping that he'd be discovered, so he wouldn't have to go through with the deceit. But it went against his nature, but he said there's only one problem. The problem is that, he's going to be able to, what if he draws me close, and he feels my skin, he'll see that it's not Esau. So she covered him over with the Gedoye, the Oros Gedoye Ha'izim. So Bisha al Yodav al Chokas Tavor. Now take a look, it's an interesting thing. So what happened? It says, Vayigash Yaakov Yitzchak other than Moshehu, Vayomar. A kol, because it became suspicious. Rashi says it wasn't the matter. Rashi says, Vayomar Yitzchak al Yaakov, Gishon of Amushcha Bini, Ator Zeb Bini Esav and Lo, was not because of the voice, Rashi says. Rashi says that Amar Yitzchak Belibo, Ein Derech Esav Uyev Shem Shemayim Shogo Besir. So apparently he was able to imitate him physically imitate Esav. The Ramban says there were twins and they had similar voices, and apparently Yaakov was very capable in imitating him, so that wasn't the problem. But he didn't realize in the process of imitation. He knew that Esav presents himself as a tzaddik, but he overdid it, because Esav had his own way of presenting himself as a tzaddik, but it wasn't based upon, he couldn't fool Yitzchak by being genuinely, by the ways of a genuine tzaddik. I mean, because it was a fraud, it was a counterfeit. But Yaakov simply threw himself into his own gear. And then Yitzchak noticed that something is wrong. So Gishonov Amushcha Bini, Hataz Bini Esav Imlo. But then it says like this, so Vayigash Yaakov Yitzchak V'Mishav Yema, Kol Yaakov Ayadayim Yudei Esav. So what does the pasuk mean? The pasuk means at that moment he was really in conflict. He was really in conflict. So it says, then the next pasuk says, this is Perakov Zayim, pasuk of Gimel. Below Ikiro. So he didn't know. One side was telling him it's Yaakov, the Kol, and one side, on the other hand, Yedayim Yedei Esau. So he was in a conflict. So it says, below Ikiro, he didn't recognize him. Kihoi Yodav Ki Yedei Esau Vachis Iro. But his hands were hairy. By Yavarachayot. But it's interesting. Take a look at the next pasuk. It says, Vayomer. Atoze bini Esav, Vayomer Oni. I mean, it would seem that pasuk of Dalet should have been before. It should have been Vayigash Yaakov Yitzchakov Vayimusheyo Vayomer, Kol Yaakov Vayadayim Yidei Esav. Vayomer Atoze bini Esav, Vayomer Oni. Then it should have said Velo Ikiro, Kihoyu Yodav Kidei Esav Ochet Seiro, Sayvorecheyo. Now, why did the Torah reverse the order? Why did it reverse the order? Because, you see, the Torah is telling you how he came out of the conflict. He had a conflict. The Kol was called Yaakov, and the Yadayim were Yedei Esav. But the thing was, which way was he going to go? So if he would have investigated further, he would have had to really grab onto Yaakov and to see if this is a deception, to see if that's really his flesh, you see. But that would demand of him that he assume that he pursue the investigation logically further and assume that Yaakov would be deceiving him to that extent. And that he couldn't do. You see, that he couldn't do. That's why the Pasuk says, that's why the Pasuk interrupts and says that the conflict was resolved because he didn't pursue it any further because he wasn't able to. But he still was, the Pasuk in other words, Veloi Kiro is telling you that really was what resolved the conflict. Atoze b'ni Esav ayom ha'ani didn't resolve it. If the Pasuk would have said, like the Sipra Maisa went naturally, so then the implication would be that Atoze b'ni Esav was the determining factor, ayom ha'ani. You see, because now he was satisfied by his response. But the Pasuk interrupts and says, Veloi Kiro, it interrupts the story. And it tells you the lower kiro because it wants to tell you what was the determinant. And the determinant was that he couldn't pursue that avenue any further. That to assume that this was a total fraud and a total deception and that these were in his hands and to grab onto him and to test it, he couldn't do that. He could not do that. So it says the lower kiro ki hoyu yodov ki de esa vachasira. But he still wanted a little more reassurance. And then he went on. So there was something, what did he do? In other words, you see, it wasn't a true resolution. That's why he said, that's why he wanted to, he needed a little more confirmation. Because it wasn't a true resolution. The resolution came from the fact that his mind couldn't go anymore in that direction. So therefore, he wanted more confirmation. But the Pasuk interrupts over here to show you what was the determinant, what really determined his position. Yeah. So why, it turns out very interesting. It turns out that the same midah that Yitzchak had, that he was unable to know that Esav was in Russia, like Rashi quotes the Pasuk, Yechasamena Chazir Miyar, that he was he was equated to a chazer, that the chazer put the feet out. So the same reason, or the way the pasuk says kitzayi b'siv, so the same reason why he couldn't pursue and investigate the personality of Esav was really the same reason why he didn't investigate and pursue the dilemma with Yaakov as well. It was the same midah that he had. And that was the midah that he simply was I mentioned many times in the name of the Rav, that he was a different kind of a tzaddik. He was a tzaddik gomor, he was an ola tmima, and that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him, Shon Baretz, when there was a Rav Baretz, it says, Gur Baretz Azos, Ein chutz laretz kedailach, because he was not the kind of a tzaddik like Yaakov Avinu or like Avram Avinu, that they were able to deal with the world, and he was unable to do that, and therefore he was able to be deceived. He was able to be deceived by Yitzchak. He couldn't imagine that he was really a Russia gomer. And the whole Sipra Maisa, like we explained before, and like the Rav mentioned, the outline of the whole Sipra Maisa. But the question is, of course, why was he that way? Was he that way because he was simply that's the prototype of a tzaddik, or a certain type of tzaddik, or is there more to it? You see, I don't think that, in my opinion, I don't think that that's the prototype of an avatar. That is not, because in Yahadus is just the opposite. Like Yaakovina said, Ochiv kiven ochivu, ochiv ani bramor. You see, in the world it's possible, in their definition or their concept of it, of what a tzaddik is, it's possible to imagine such a personality. Such a personality doesn't exist. But it's possible to imagine such a thing because of their concept of what righteousness is. But in Yahadis, that's not possible. Because in Yahadis, everything is Chacham. And the real Talmud Chacham is the shrewdest individual. And the real Talmud Chacham knows the wiles of the worst Russia. And he knows the deception. He's aware of the deception. He's not a fool because he knows very well. He understands the psychology of a human being. And that's important to know that well in order to gain perfections. It's a process of knowledge. And therefore, it's not possible for a true, genuine Talmud Chacham to be simple and naive. It just is not possible. For instance, is the Rambam. The Rambam was the greatest tzaddik. But nevertheless, he knew very well, he understood exactly, very clearly, the way, if you read the Mori, he understood very clearly how the Russia thinks, exactly, precisely, how the Russia thinks, how the individual who despises Chochmah thinks, he understood every nuance. He even had the foresight to do something that no other author that I know of did, and that is to ensure that no one use his sefer for their own personal means of self-aggrandizement. And that is why the Rambam in his introduction, he was mashbia, that no one should ever disclose anything that he says that wasn't mentioned by others before him. Any of the secrets of the Mara. And basically what the Rambam did was that he made it impossible for anybody to ever write a Pirush HaMara. Anytime you see any sefer that says a Pirush HaMara, it can't be right. Can't be correct. Because the Rambam made a shura that a Pirush on this sefer is never to be made. It must be of the individual that he should never disclose anything in the sefer other than things that are mentioned before and that are in his sefer, of course, and things that are just saying dvarim pshutim. You're allowed to repeat them, or you're allowed to mention what he says. I mean, you shouldn't do that. But to disclose the ideas, his own creative ideas, the Rambam put a ban on it. And the Rambam knew very well that what the Rambam did not want was that his sefer should become a vehicle for others who will simply use it to maintain that they're the ones that discover the ideas of the Mara, and the ideas will be false, but people will not be able to know because people that are counterfeiters are very clever, and therefore the sefer will become a vehicle of misinformation, of wrong ideas. So the Rambam was very, very astute, and he knew the ways of people, and he made sure that no one would be able to ever use a sefer for their own personal use. And the Rambam was the way the Rambam did it. It's simply there's no way to get around it. I mean, basically, his introduction means literally that if anybody claims to be giving people a Pirush of the Mara, you know that they're fraudulent. Because he was mashbia anyone in the beginning of the sefer that he should not disclose the idea. So it's impossible to do it. Yeah, the Rambam did it because the Rambam knew the ways of people. But so in Yahadis, you really don't find any type of a tzaddik that is naive, that's a tam. I mean, it's what people call it, we call it tam. When we say the Yaakov is Tom, it means perfected. It doesn't mean a Tom. What people call a Tom. Yeah, Tomam Tiyam Hashem Lekecha means to be perfected. So the question really is that it's true. I mean, Yitzchak, it's true that Yitzchak Avinu was the greatest tzaddik. I mean, the great, he can't be a great tzaddik, one of the others. So how is it possible that he lacked this kind of a, this kind of an knowledge? Yeah. What I'd like to say, the answer is, I believe, found in the, in something which is mentioned by the Rambam, which is mentioned by the Rambam. Not a sod, but it's mentioned in the end of the Rambam, and how the perfect worship God. And the Rambam mentions over there, he says the following. He says that a person can't, he says the philosophers have already explained that a person, when it's in chapter L1, 51, in the third section, the end of the Mari, now the part where he talks about section. The Rambam says over there that the philosophers have already explained that a person when he's young basically can't attain perfection. It's not possible. Because the powers of the guf, the physical forces in man, the psychological energies in man, prevent him from really reaching ultimate perfection. But he says like this. He says that the more the forces of his body are weakened and the fire of passion quenched, in the same measure does man's intellect increase in strength and light. His knowledge becomes pure, and he is happy with his knowledge. So the Ram mentions this not only in the Mara, the Ram mentions it, I believe it's the introduction to the Pirush HaMishnayos on the Shmona Prakim. I don't remember which one, but maybe in Shmona Prakim, where he mentions that the Tikkun HaNefesh B'Shivron HaGuf, that the nefesh only reaches its perfected state when the guf deteriorates. He doesn't mean, the Rambam doesn't mean that a person should harm his guf or should not take care of his health. On the contrary, the Rambam mentions that a person can't be a navi unless he's in perfect health, because that is the normal human being. But there's a natural process of deterioration with age. And the Rambam is saying that the natural process is a time where the chachma, where the soul gains on the guf. And the Rambam says like this. He says, when this perfect man, he says, is stricken in age and is near death, his knowledge mightily increases. His joy in that knowledge grows greater, and his love for the object of his knowledge more intense. And it is in this great delight that the soul separates from the body. That's what Rambam says. Okay, so basically, what the Rambam is describing, something which he mentions the philosophers knew, and which Yahadus maintains, and that, but he has one thing, that perhaps the philosophers have that too, actually, namely that the state right immediately before death is a state of perfection for the individual that is perfected. And there's a chazal, meis mitoch haschok simin yafala. That's what chazal means, meis mitoch haschok simin yafala. Because there is a kind of schok that the Rambam is talking about over here, that's what Rambam means, where he says that, and it is in this great delight that the soul separates from the body. So you see that what the Rambam is pointing to here is a different state of existence. It's a different state of existence. What I am venturing to say is that if an individual reaches that state of existence, would reach such a state, a perfected individual, when he reaches that state, the moment before his patira, there is no way for him back from that state. It's a state of the soul which from which he can never return. It's a different kind of existence. It's something which, of course, I mean, is a rare thing, because perfection is very rare, like the Rambam explains. But for that rare individual, when the soul reaches that perfected state, there's no going back. You can't go back anymore. You can only go forward into the state of Misa. But there's no return. The state of no return. from which there's no return. So continuing with this idea, what I want to say is that was Yitzchak Avinu. Yitzchak Avinu lived through such a state of existence by the Akedah. The Akedah means, what the Akedah means is that he really thought, because it was the Dvar Hashem, that his life would be ended at that moment, and Vayakar Yitzchak Beno, Vayikach Hasama Achelas Lishchot Es Beno, at that moment, Yitzchak reached that total level of perfection. And that state of the soul, where the soul embraces the universals, the ideas, the ultimate reality, from that state there is no return. So Yitzchak Avinu was the only person that actually had that kind of an experience. Because it was the Dvar Hashem that this would happen, and he knew it was about to happen. So for him, Misa, and the only thing he was missing was Misa. Misa and not Misa were almost identical. And there really are Chazal that support this idea. Because the Chazal, for instance, by Chaye Sora, where it says that, Rashi quotes it. That's interesting. Rashi is in, Perikov Gimel Pasuk Bay. Lispod Lissora Viliskosa. So Rashi says, "Nismucha Misa Sora Lakeda Sitchok." What's the Smicha Parshas? Misa Sora to the Akeda? And a son was all was a son encountered the situation of shchita, and then Rashi does an interesting thing. He says the kemat shelon nishchat. What do you mean kemat shelon nishchat? You should have said kemat nishchat. He was almost killed. No, kemat shelon nishchat. He was almost not killed. What does it mean, Shalom Nishchat? Because really, what it means is that he did face Misa. He did suffer Misa. He suffered the experience of the Tzadik Gomor a moment before Misa. Physically, he didn't die. So it was Kemat Shalom Nishchat. He almost didn't die, but actually, a part of him was made, in the sense that Misa is the moment before Misa is the ultimate state. So and really that's the meaning of the Medrash. That's what it means that by that Sara Imenu that was something that caused her patira. She was that aggravated, that was a tremendous aggravation for her. What does it mean? I really think that it's a big mistake to teach your children, you know, my Mor Chazal that are very deep, and then you teach it them in like a silly way, like, you know, the Shliach came and he said, and he almost said this, but he didn't say the rest. I mean, this is like making Divrei Chazal into a joke. But really what it means is that Sarah, when she realized that brought on her mission, because she realized that he will never have a normal life again. And that the Akedah permanently made him live in a state where, in a state of existence, that is not normal for a human being to exist in. And apparently that was what disturbed her and brought about her and aggravated her. And that's where Chazal say that parsha was nismach to Amisa.
You ready?
Yes.
Also in the Kaf-Kaf, Yud Gimel,
there's
a Rashi that says the same thing.
Excuse me?
Chav Ches Yud Gimel.
Okay.
Rashi by Elokei Yitzhak.
Chav, yeah, I was looking at that reference. Chav Ches Yud Gimel, the one where he says that he was a Tzadik Gomor Kalu. Chav Ches, where is that?
Yud Gimel.
Yeah, correct. yeah. Elokei Yitzhak. That's right. Rashi says, Afal Pishel Emotinu Ben Mikra. Very good. Lefi shekohu eno, v'kolu babayis, v'areyu kemeis, v'yetzahara pasak nimano. That's exactly right. Correct. Because that's what it means. But it means, and you'll take a look, for instance, also, it explains another chazal. The chazal, see, chazal on the pasuk of, where the pasuk is, Vayhiki Zaken Yitzchok. So take a look at Rashi. Of Zion Allah. Vayhiki Zaken Yitzchok, Batechena Ein of Meraos. So Rashi gives three pshatim. It's interesting. One pshat, the first pshat, and not one of them. The first two, the last one is a logical pshat, but the first two don't make any sense. First one is Ba'oshnon Shel Elu, Shehayu Ma'ashno Sumaktiros Lavoda Salivan. Okay? So, I mean, of course, again, I mean, to teach, this to the to youngsters is, makes silly ideas, makes the very chachamein or silly. That because they were mocked there, these Torahs to their gods, so this went into his eyes, the smoke went into his eyes, and then caused him blindness. Right? Nonsensical. But what it means is, what Chazal mean is, that he, because of the, and take a look at the next level, really the two are complementary. Dovracha, kishineket al gabeh ha-mizbeach, or yo'oviv rotza l'shochto, ba'osa shoa niftachu ha-shamayim, v'ro'o malachei ha-shoreis, the malachei ha-shoreis saw v'ayu bochim, and they were crying. V'yodu dimoseim, the tears went down, v'naflu o'eno, and they fell on his eyes, v'sicho ko'o'eno. That chazal is very difficult. How could you say such a thing? How could you say that because a person does a mitzvah, the greatest possible mitzvah of mesiras nefesh, it means less than less dying? That's chas v'shalom. How could that be? Yeah. But what it means is that what it means is that the when it says kohu einav, you see there's two kiyuei nayim over here. One kiyuei nayim is the physical blindness, but the other kiyuei nayim is the fact that he couldn't really see, he couldn't really investigate and probe and use his cunning to understand what was going on in terms of the situation and the personalities that he was involved with. That's the other kiyuei nayim. So really, what Chazal is saying, the second medrash is saying, Kishenekin, where did that happen? Where did he lose that? Because we don't hold that a tzaddik really is naive. So why was Yitzchak naive? Kishenekin al gabim is beach. That's when it happened. So your other wrote to the shachto, Ba'os Hashem, Niftach Hashemayim, V'ro Malachai Asher Kli Bochim. Yodu Dimasim, V'nof Lo'inav. It means to say, or Yibochim means to say, that here was an individual that faced death before his time. It was untimely, because that's something he should have faced the last moment before he left this existence. But actually, he faced it many, many years before. And that was what caused him to have that kiyuei einayim that really is an introduction to the Sipur HaMaisa with Yaakov and Esau. It's the other kiyuei einayim that Chazal are referring to. But they're basing it on the pasuk, because Vatechena Ein of Meros is giving you the reason why he was able to be deceived. But the deception wasn't only because of the physical loss of sight. It was because of an internal process that was lost to him. And that happened a long time before. That happened Al-Gabe Mizbech. Of course, you understand, you can't take, the fact that Chazal can't be taken pshuto, because if that was the case, they shouldn't be blind after the Akedah. Why did it take so long? But clearly, what Chazal is referring to is not the physical blindness, but the kiyuei einayim that was equally responsible from being unable to determine that this was Yaakov and not Esau that was standing before him. And the first Chazal is along the same line. It says, why did he become blind? It means that he was able to think that Esav was really a tzaddik. But once, sometimes a person can is capable of putting on a facade, but then if you take a look into his life, I mean, there's certain aspects that don't fit in line. And that was with Esav, that was with Nashav. That's what it means. And he himself could put on an act, and he was very intelligent. But by the way, what I said before about Esav, that he really thought that he was a tzaddik, is not something, again, you see Chazal say, the terrorism is not a naive sefer. Because it says by Esav, it says he actually did tshuva later. So you see that his intent was always, he had a part of him that was driven to be a tzaddik. It wasn't the devil pusher that he was a Russian. But later did the Vapor say Yaakov Esav Babanov. He was a chosen tshuva. Yeah. But anyways, I just want to make that point. Yeah, ba'ashnan shalela. So it means to say that the blindness was the blind. What it means to say was that he was the tihui einayim. He basically, once he saw that he couldn't tolerate the nishayesa. It was very aggravating to him. So he withdrew from the situation. That was the key rein from Esav. So he withdrew, and since he withdrew because of Nashav, he withdrew from the situation. So that's why he was able to be deceived. He could not investigate into it. Okay. Now So that's
basically. Did we have a question?
Yes, go ahead.
The age question,
I'm not addressing the age question. I don't know what the age was, but you see that the effect that it had on him was certainly borne out by Chazal. The Chazal lend themselves. I mean, Rashi's interpretation is based more on the Chazal. I mean, it's true. It fits in better if he was older. But the idea that Chazal are portraying, I mean, I can't say how old he was, and I can't say what level of perfection he was. But at what age? I mean. But the idea nevertheless is the same. Regardless of his age, that's what Chazal are telling us. The idea that he reached that moment, and he reached that moment of perfection. There's another Chazal that again supports it. Chazal say that Afro Shel Yitzchak is Munach Lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Afro Shel Yitzchak. What does it mean, Afro Shel Yitzchak? But he didn't die, so where's the Afro? He wasn't the carbon. The carbon was the aisle. So what does it mean, Afro? That supports the same idea. Afro Shel Yitzchak means that he lived from that moment on as if he were not alive, as if he were not part of this world. And it was a different type. His existence was a completely different kind of existence. The Akedah was something which permanently affected him and removed him from this earthly, this worldly existence in many, many dimensions, many, many dimensions. Okay.
Rabbi?
So, yeah.
Rabbi, when it says by the Nashav Shel Esav, right? But later on it says that he saw that Esav saw that his wives were displeasing to his parents. And then he went to Yishmael. One second. He didn't know this beforehand? I'm not following. In other words, he knew. A kid knows the difference between right and wrong. Esav took these women that were practicing about
Avodah Zarah. People make mistakes. He didn't realize. I mean, there are situations. A person, I mean, you see, in today's world, a person can marry a shiksa and expect the family to accept them. I mean, people make mistakes, and they think they can hide things. I mean, it's detail. It's a detail.
Rebbe?
But, yeah. Maybe he thought he'd be able to construct them. I don't know. I mean, I can't go into the details. Yes.
How is Yitzchak different from cases like Hananya, Mishael, and Azariah, and many other cases where people's life came very close to death?
Hananya, Mishael, and Azariah, it's true. They were most of the most nefesh too. That's correct. I mean, I'm just, it's, perhaps that, I don't know. I mean, in terms of Chaim Shal Azariah, whether it was the same thing as Yitzchak, I'd have to give a thought. It could very well be. But among the Avos, he was the only one. And in Chamisha Chum Sheter, in Torah itself, he was the only person like that. I mean, I have to think, the person was Chaim Shal Azariah, correct. I mean, it's, yeah.
Rebbe, you said part of the perfection of a tzaddik is that he recognizes the deceitful ways of people. So why?
I would add one thing to this point, and that is that by Yitzchak there was another feature as well, and that is that he reached. He reached that level before he engaged in life and in living itself. That is also something which perhaps makes a difference. I mean, I have to give it some further thought. But in other words, he reached that level of perfection while he was young, before he even used his abilities to, you see, in Yehadis, before an individual, like for instance, Moshe Rabbeinu, so what happened before? Where was he before? Before he was attaining metaphysical perfection. But later, he applied it to the practical world. A fool works just the opposite. First, he knows how to run the world. There's hardly a fool that if you tell him that he's the one that should run the world, there's hardly a fool that would turn down that opportunity. By the Chacham, it's exactly the opposite. That he doesn't, he first spends his life in Chachmah, and then later, only later does he apply it to the world. But with Yitzchak, that was not the case. With Yitzchak, before he was able to apply his Chachmah to the world, he suffered the event of the Akeda. That event prevented him from ever entering upon that realm. He was unable to enter that realm of human existence. And that he was different than every other human being. Like Hananya, Mishael, Azariah, I would say that's not so, because on the contrary, they were really with the Malchus. So they had already engaged in the application of in the return from the world of the absolute Chochmah and applying it to the practical, they had already done that. They had accomplished that process. But Yitzchak had never accomplished that. So before he was able to do that, he already met death. And he was unable after that incident to ever do that again, to apply himself in that manner again.
Really?
Yes.
I was thinking while you were talking that maybe there's another aspect. I'm not sure if it ever existed, but this was all Pia Dibur, meaning that Hashem was desiring his expiration, meaning to say that this is something straight from Hashem. I'm sure that there was a discussion Avram had with Yitzchak on this. He wasn't ignorant of the fact that this is all Pia Dibur. Hananya, Mishael, and Azariah.
No, it doesn't. It could be. That could be. I have to think about that also. Right. I would have to think about that also. Mm-hmm. But I'm not. I'd have to think about that. That could be different also. Where a person is, that could be different. That could be totally different. I'd have to give that some thought. But at any rate, this point, I mean, you see clearly is supported by Chazal, that namely, that he didn't really escape the Akedah. Afro Shel Yitzchak. It had a permanent effect on his personality. And because he reached that moment of perfection at that time, he was from that moment on unable to return and come back into the world itself, into worldly matters, and they were unable to pursue it.
Rabbi?
Yes.
I mean, Avram went to a Kifshon Eish also, yes?
Well, that's a Chazal. The Rambam says it means that all the Chazal mean is that he escaped Derech Nes. That's all it means. Rambam does not take the Chazal literally to mean a Kifshon Eish. It means that they try to kill him and he escaped Derech Nes. That's what Rambam says. But at any rate, it wouldn't make any difference anyway, because I think that, as I said, I'd like to give it some further thought. If a person dies on Kiddush Hashem, it would seem that that individual experiences the greatest height. But at any rate, with Yitzchak, it was before he ventured on his mission as an Adam. It was before. He was a youngster at the time. And whatever the age is not important to me, but the concept is the same. Namely, it was at a time, Kachnos Binchos Yechitkos or Haftos Yitzchak, it was at a time before the role was given over to him. He was at that point not out in the world. And he faced Misa before he faced the world. That was the uniqueness of his situation. And therefore he was unable to ever gain that kind of a knowledge. See, once a person has the knowledge, he's not going to lose the knowledge, he has it already. But to venture into that world requires a certain state of mind. And once the individual has reached the state before Misa that the Rambam mentions, where it's total, he faces the world of total perfection and the world of universals, and he has that joy of embracing that, he can never return again after that. Okay. Now the... Yes?
Yeah, in light of what you're saying, can you take a look at Chav Zion?
Yes, correct.
But it seems that he was able to relate to people in the world.
I'm not saying he was. He ran away. He wasn't. I'm not talking about that. And so, on the contrary, it's passive over there. They were the ones who were active. Okay. Now, I'm not saying he didn't eat. I'm not saying he didn't exist. I'm not saying he didn't talk to people. I'm not saying that.
No,
I'm saying he was unable to pursue with a certain type of a wisdom, of a chokhmah, that an ordinary tzaddik had. He was unable to do it because he never applied himself to that area.
Well, in Pasuk Chav Zayin, he says to them that you hated me. Now, how come you're here?
So what's the problem? He knew people hate him. He wasn't a fool. Okay. Yeah. Let's move on. So what I want to say over here is the following. That with regard to the... where are we up to here? Okay. Excuse me. Now let's go back to the question we started with. The question of what was the test? Okay. What was the test by Eliezer? What was the test by Eliezer? Now take a look. It's a very interesting thing. Because first he says like this. When he starts off the test, he says like this. Vayoma, Perek of Dal Pasuk Beis. Areshem Melekei Adoni Avraham, Hakrei Nolafonei Ayom, Vasechesed Im Adoni Avraham. And then he mentions, Voya Naro Asher Omer Elo Atina Chadech Veshtem, Vomer Shtei, Vigam Gamalach Ashke, okay. And then it says, Vahiyu Tam Kilo Ladaber. Okay. And it says, and then who came out was Rifko, and Vateret Aino Vatmalech Arvatol. Okay. So then, as soon as that happens, so what does it say? Vatchalashkos, okay. Then it says, Vo'ish mishto'eilo. Okay. Vo'ish mishto'eilo. So he was astounded. He was He was waiting. He was in a state of astonishment. Macharish, Wadas, Hayatzliach Harishem Darkon Lo. So he was astounded, and then it says, and what did he do? He took the tzmidim and he put it on her. And then it says, Vayomar Basmiat, right? So it says, Vayomar Basmiat, and then he says, Vayiko, and then when she told him, Vatamala Basulanochi, then it says, Vayiko Reish Vayishtachal Hashem. He didn't do the Ashtachavoyas first. He only did it after she told him who she was. And then after that, he says, Boruch HaRishem Alakei Adoni Avram, Asher Lo Ozav Chasdo V'Amito Me'im Adoni. Anochi Baderech Nachani HaRishem Beisach Adoni. So you see, there are three stages here. First was where he gave the test. Then she passed the test. And it says, Lo Ish Mishtoi Lo. And then after that, it says that he asked her who her family is, and then Vayikor Oish Veishtachol Hashem. So it seems it's accomplished, but then he says no. Now Anochi Baderech Nochani Hashem Beisachei Adoni. Now he's on the derech. So what are these three expressions? Now you take a look. Rashi mentions. That Rashi mentions, by the way, there was one thing was over here that he put in he was secure, but he didn't know yet, and only when she told him who her family is, then not before. He didn't do it first. He didn't do it when she said the Gamgam Alachashka. Okay, only afterwards. And then he said, then he's not finished yet. He said, no, now Anochi Baderech. Who is Anochi Baderech? Vayikor Oish Veishtachol Hashem? Accomplished. You take a look. You see, what I want to say is like this, that it wasn't a test at all. It was not a test. Because that is not really a test. Just because she wants to feed some camel, wants to water some of the camels, does not prove anything. But basically, if you take a look later, you see that this whole thing was very planned out. Because for instance, when he comes into the house and it says Vayom Hevet Avram Anochi, but Hashem Berach Es Adoni Maod Vayigdol, Vayitin Lo Tzonu Vokav Vechesav Vezov Avarim Ushvachos Gmar Vachamarim. He's very wealthy. This is his real son. He has everything. And Chazal say he had a star. He showed him a star. Star matana herolam. What was that for? Because, see, he knew that he had two problems. One problem was to find Rivka. But for that, I mean, he would go around and find where she is, and then question and ask around who is and meet her and talk to her. He was a chacham. He was the real Talmud chacham. He's a damesek dolo mashke may Torah's rabba. So he was the real ultimate Talmud chacham. So that wasn't really, if it were just to find her, that wasn't really a problem that would demand such a procedure. What demanded the procedure was, he knew that one thing is to find her and to investigate her and to question her. That's easy. But the problem was, he had a responsibility to accomplish the goal. That was his. And he had to use his chachma to be able to bring about the desired event. It wasn't the Nes Min HaShemayim. Yeah, a lot of Nesim, but the Nes only happened because he used his chachma. The responsibility. People think that a nes relieves the individual from his responsibility to use all his chachma. That's for such an individual, nothing would happen. There wouldn't be any hashgacha. But on the contrary, he had the total responsibility to use all of his chachma to bring about the desired result. And he knew that the only way he can accomplish it is if he's successful with her. But he has to be successful with the family as well. Now, what family is going to allow the daughter to go back with Eliezer to the base of Rome, hundreds of miles. What family's going to do that? So it doesn't make any sense. So he knew he had to do something in order to convince the family. How is he going to convince the family? That he knew he couldn't rely on his personality for that. That he couldn't accomplish. So therefore he knew the only way would be if he would set up something that would occur in a mystical fashion so that the family would be convinced that this is definitely the will of God. Because he knew that people are influenced by two things. The average person is influenced by two things. One is wealth, money, and the other is the mystical. So what Eliezer did was he employed both of those elements in order to accomplish his goal. And that's why he said, Akrino Lafuna Hayom, that was his thing. He, because I'll say it was Shaul Shlok Hogan, but he was Zocha. He was Zocha. Why was he Shaul? He was Shlok Hogan, HaKadosh Baruch Hu answered him Kogan. Why? Because like Rashi says, it was Batuch Beschusa Shel Avram. He knew that the Ashgacha was favoring Avram. And he knew that he had to work out how to do it in a way that later, when he repeats it to the family, they will be influenced by what happened. So that's what he worked out. That he will ask this question. She will give the response. Of course, the question showed had to be something that made sense to show that he's looking for a Bala Chesed. He's looking for, you know, that type of a girl. So he set it up that way. But then the fact that she was the one that was from the mishpacha, which was really what he was supposed to do initially. But the basic shot is that he was supposed to go to his mishpacha. So kisavo mishpachti. So he was supposed to go to his mishpacha. But he knew that just to go to the mishpacha, they're going to say, fine, you came to the mishpacha. What's the big deal? Why should we let Rifka go? But he worked it out in a way that when he repeated the story, he said it was an event, and that's why he changed it around, Rashi said. So it has to make some sense that when she came, then he didn't say he put the rings and the zomim and the jewelry on her right away. He said first yes, bas miyat. But the fact that what influenced them was two things. The fact that he could ascribe it to the mystical, and what does Chazal say? Kol nichosh ain't a kenichosh shel Eliezer. So you see, it had the tzura of nichosh. Why did it have the tzura of? Why did Eliezer use the tzura of nichosh? Because he knew the people. What did Lavan Arami say? Nichashti v'avarachin yerushim b'gvolecha. So nichosh was really something which they respected, and Eliezer knew that was what they respected.
Hello.
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 Hello. Yes, hello. Yeah, what happened? This is Rebbe. Who's this? It's okay. Hello? Is the phone working properly?
Yeah, but still, everything's fine, Rebbe.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Yeah. So he knew that they were impressed with two things, Nichush and Mammon. And that's what basically, that's how he set this thing up. He used his Chachma to set it up in a way that later, when they saw it's very wealthy, and then he showed them that look how this happened. What did love and vayan love and basul vayomru? May Hashem yotzad davar pasuk nun lo nuchal dabar lecha raotov. He may rifka lefanecha kach v'leich. See yishul levered nech kasher dibar Hashem. So you see that they again. I mean, the Russia is not a person that doesn't have any concept of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. On the contrary, I mean, we say that Milay Rocha Malach Hagayim. That he does. So Lavan was impressed. He was impressed by two elements: the element of the tzura of Nichush, and the money. Those it was a multi-determined conviction. His conviction came about by those two elements.
Ready?
Yes.
If Nichush is wrong, then why are you allowed to use it?
No, that's not. He didn't use it. With him, it wasn't Nichush. I explained it one time. With Eliezer, says it wasn't nichus, it was tzuras nichus. He knew that you're not allowed to do that. Because an ordinary person does that, it's nichus. But for Eliezer, it wasn't nichus, because Eliezer knew he knew that the Hashgacha was with Avraham. So that's not nichus. That's my answer. I want to talk about that. But anyways, the point is that you see the chachma that Eliezer used in order to bring about the result. Why did he do this? Why did he do this? Because he knew Yitzchak. He knew that Yitzchak was an Ola Tmima, that Yitzchak was an individual that cannot really fend for himself, and he felt the responsibility in bringing about the situation that would eventuate in Kol Yisrael. Chazal said, of course, the famous Chazal, that he really wanted his daughter to marry Yitzchak. But okay, of course, it shows Mesiras Nefesh on his part. But it's more than Mesiras Nefesh. More than Mesiras Nefesh. It's tremendous Chachma that he used in Yedias HaHashgacha and in working out a situation, a convincing situation to accomplish his mission, to accomplish his goal in order to be able to get a wife for Yitzchak so that Kol Yisrael should eventually exist. That's what Chazal means. A yofes sichosan shel avdei ovos mitaroshan shel banim. That this sicha is greater than Torah Tov. It's really the pillar for Kol HaTorah Kula, actually. It's for Kol HaTorah Kula. And here was the Eved who understood Avram, understood Yitzchak, understood the situation, and used his chachma in order to be able to bring it about.
Rabbi?
Yes.
I didn't mean Eliezer was doing something. I didn't mean Eliezer was using Nichash. Eliezer was using Nichash. I meant that he's playing on the fears of the other people.
Yeah, no, we have to do that.
He's really
he had to do that. Of course, he had to play in their emotions in order to accomplish it. There's no other way.
In reality, he's propagating a wrong idea.
Well, so did Yaakov Vino. He's saying, I don't understand. Yaakov, in Choset is Chasod, the Nikesh Titapo. That's Midas HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and Chazal say, Kol Tom HaChacham Shein and Noki, the Notek and Nocha Shein and Tom HaChacham. You have to know exactly what you're doing. It's not a simplistic, this is not simplistic. Yeah, now that explains the three stages. What are the three stages? The first stage was where he was mispalel. He was mispal to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that the event should take place, so that he has an event to repeat that something happened that was miraculous. You see? And then when it happened, he says, Voish mishto'elah, mishto'elah, machrish ladas, ha'atzliach ad Hashem darkon lo. He was astounded. What could it be? He was waiting to see if this was Hashgacha. Then he concluded that it was. But then it still wasn't enough, because he had to be able to say basmi. He needed the other element too. Basmiat, it was her, and now he can go back and he could say that she came out, she did it, she was from the right family. This is all a nice. So, but Thomas, so the moment she said, the moment she said the family that she's from, then Vayikodesh Vayishtachol Ad Hashem. But he wasn't finished. Then he said, Baruch Ad Hashem Elokei Adoni Avram, Asher Lo Ozav Chasov Amito Mim Adoni, now Anochi Baderech Nachani Ad Hashem Beis Achei Adoni. Now I have to simply accomplish, take the material that was given to me, and now use it in order to accomplish the goal for which I'm here. That's what it's worth. Okay. All right.
Hey, one more question. Yeah.
Yeah, Rabbi, actually two things. One is, what is Yafasi Chasan, Shalav the Avos, you're just saying that what it means here, an application is because the entire future of Klal Yisrael is dependent upon it, right?
Of course, but that's not what it's saying. It's saying, it's showing you the avdei avos, their chachma, and their perfection, and the realization of Klal Yisrael. It's a whole picture. It's not just one thing. It's a picture of perfection.
the main point is that the recounting of the story is not recounting. It's really the phase two of Eliezer's operation.
Okay.
He can't hear you.
In other words, the repeating, and come the repeating of the.
Are you talking over?
It's really phase two of his operation. That's why he has to repeat. It's not a some repetition. It's really. There's no repetition. It's really phase two of his operation. Right?
That's correct.
That's
correct.
That's
correct. It was phase two. Anochi baderech nachani ad Hashem. And now I have the material. Now I have to take the material and mold it into what is necessary in order to accomplish the goal. And that he did with unbelievable chokhmah. You see that he switched around the facts a little bit. He had to switch the facts a little bit. Because otherwise it looked like he's crazy. You see, he had to make sure that he's covered on every base. But he knew the two elements that are most influential. And he used those two elements. Okay.
Yeah. Rabbi.
In spite of the fact, of course, Darshanim say that. What does it mean? Darshanim say that why, what was his greatness? The fact that he wanted his daughter for Yitzchak. I mean, it certainly was great. There's no question about it that that's a great thing. But that's not the only thing. That's not the reason why the Torah has to go over the whole thing twice and tell you exactly every detail over there. That wouldn't be enough. I mean, that's one aspect of it. Shows his perfection, that's correct, but it shows his perfection in many different ways, not just, it shows his perfection in terms of that, it shows his perfection in terms of his knowledge of the Ashgacha, it shows his perfection in terms of his ability to understand people and how to work with them, and it shows his perfection in terms of understanding the significance of exactly what he was doing and his devotion to Avraham Avinu and to the future of Klal Yisrael. It shows you, it's a whole picture. And his understanding of Yitzchak. He knew the significance of his mission.
Rebbe?
Yeah.
Did Avraham instruct him that this would be an issue and tell him to deal with it?
Excuse me?
Did Avraham tell him that this would be an issue? Like, if.
What's going to be an issue?
That he'd have to appease the family.
No, he was a chacham. He was a chacham. I mean,
Avraham entrusted him.
He entrusted him. Because Baruch Hu would tell Moshe Rabbeinu how to influence Klal Yisrael. I mean, he gave him certain things, but it was basically his responsibility. It was his responsibility. He had a responsibility for the mission. He was a tremendous Talmud Chacham. Dola Mashkem, the Torah's rabbi. Avraham had confidence in him. He just told him what to do, and he would be able to accomplish it.
Did Eliezer know Rivka's personality beforehand to know that she was going to work for the camels also? Or was this...
Never met her.
No, he didn't know her. He absolutely didn't know her. He didn't know her. He knew this is the only way to go about it. He knew the other way to go about it would be to find out where she is and then start interrogating her. That wouldn't accomplish anything. He saw that's not the way to go. So he knew the only way is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should make the decision. Also Al Chachta. That was the only way to go. And he used it, then that's the way he did it. Okay, it was the only way to do it.
That's even though it wouldn't have worked out if she wouldn't have offered the camels. That if he went about and found her.
Yeah, I understand that, but he knew. Well, that's what Rashi says. Rashi says that that test wasn't just a crazy thing. He didn't say he was going to say a crazy thing. He knew that she had to be such a person. Rashi says, Re'uyahi. She had to be an individual, that's what I mentioned before, she had to be a kind of person that doesn't give chesed responsively, but does chesed genuinely. He knew that she had to be such a person, so he knew that the real person who's going to be the wife of Yitzchak will do that. That's why she did it. It wasn't a crazy thing. But that wasn't enough. That wasn't a proof. That doesn't prove anything. What kind of a thing is it? There's many people can do it for many reasons. That's something. The idea that it was just a test is not correct. That this, she passed the test now. That's not the way to do it. You should have interrogated her. Many, many things you have to know about a person. That doesn't prove anything. One thing, maybe she likes camels. Maybe she likes animals. That doesn't prove anything. But the fact that she would do it, that he knew. But the fact that she does it doesn't prove anything. There are many things that you know a tzaddik will do, but not everybody that does it is a tzaddik. Two different things. So he knew that she would do it. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu answered his tefillah. It was a tefillah. Okay.
Okay, shkosh, Rabbi.
Okay.